Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
So, back during World War II, Germany dropped thousands of bombs onto London. Now, some of these bombs that were dropped, they exploded upon impact as they were supposed to, but some of the bombs were delayed action bombs. And if you know anything about those are meant to explode not upon impact, but hours and even sometimes days after being dropped. So back in 2015, during a construction project in the Bermondsey area of London, one of these delayed action bombs was uncovered, and believe it or not, it still had not exploded. This more than 2,200-pound bomb had been undisturbed for over 70 years, corroded, volatile, and still very dangerous. And so naturally, all of the houses in the area had to be evacuated. The Army's experts came in to disarm the bomb. And so they worked carefully for several days to very intentionally and purposefully disarm it so that it would not devastate anything and everything around it. So we are in the middle of a series right now titled, The Struggle is Real. And I've been saying this each week, but I've connected this back to the vision of Next that I've cast for this church for this year, where I've encouraged us to ask this question, where am I in my walk with the Lord, and what is my next step? Because where you are right now might be right in the midst of a struggle. And so my desire has been, as we talk about some of these struggles and as we look at God's Word, is to provide some biblical answers for these real life struggles. And we've talked about several struggles along the way. We've talked about the struggle of loneliness, the struggle of aging, the struggle of burnout, and even temptations. Last week we talked about the struggle of pride. This morning, we're going to talk about another struggle that is very real for us in this life, and this is the struggle of anger. Now, as we think about anger, many times, anger can be like this delayed action bomb that was discovered. It might lie hidden for a while, unseen and unaddressed, but it's still very volatile. And if it's not properly dealt with, it can explode at any moment. And when it explodes, it can cause destruction in our homes, in our families, with our spouses, with our children. It can cause destruction in our jobs. It's just beneath the surface, and if we're not careful, even the slightest things can set it off. And so, like this World War II bomb, it must be carefully and intentionally recognized and disarmed. And so if you recognize that anger is something that you struggle with, and let's be honest, I think anger is something that we all struggle with a little bit from time to time. And so if anger is something that you struggle with, then this message is for you. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8 this morning. Genesis 4, 1 through 8. Now, the passage that we're going to look at today, for some of you, this is going to be a familiar passage. This is the story of Cain and Abel. In particular, this is the story of Cain's anger. Now, just prior to our story in chapter 3, this is where we see Adam and Eve disobey God, and we see the fall of mankind. And at the end of chapter 3, we're told that God drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. And then we get to chapter 4. to the story of Cain's anger. And so this is what I want you to see. The first time that we see someone get angry in Scripture is only after the fall. It's after sin enters into this world. Prior to sin entering into this world, distorting who God has created us to be, not once do we ever see anger mentioned. Why? Because prior to sin, there was no reason to get angry. There was no jealousy. There was no envy. There was no disobedience. There was no talking back. There was no hatred. Before the fall of mankind, the world was perfect. But after the fall, when sin entered into the world, anger entered this world as well. Understand, anger is the result of sin. This is true of God's anger as well. Not to imply that God sins, but what is it that God gets angry about? Does God get angry over the praises of his people? No. Does God get angry when we walk in obedience to him? No. God becomes angry over sin. In fact, when Christ went to the cross and our sin, the sin of mankind, was placed upon Christ as our sin offering, God poured out his wrath, his anger on Christ in our place. Praise God that because of Christ, when we come to him, when we will surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ, we don't have to experience the wrath of God. Instead, we get to experience his grace and his mercy because Christ took God's anger upon himself in your place and in my place. But anger is the result of sin. Now, I think it's important to note that God's anger is perfect. God's anger is just. God's anger leads to a righteous judgment. And while anger is the result of sin, God's anger is not born out of a heart of sin. God's anger is born out of a perfect heart. However, when it comes to you and me, our anger is not born out of a perfect heart. Our anger is born out of a heart that is marred by sin. Understand, mankind's anger is born out of a sinful heart. Now, this doesn't mean that our anger is not sometimes justified, especially if we are agreeing with God in the things that make him angry. Think about it. If you were to see a child that is being mistreated, a child that is being abused, that should grieve you. That should anger you. But even in those instances where our anger is justified, and as we agree with the Lord in his anger, we as humans must still guard our hearts. Because while the anger we have may be justified, our hearts are still imperfect. Our hearts are still marred by sin. And I would take it a step further to say this: our hearts at times still cannot be trusted. Mankind's anger is born out of a sinful heart. And because mankind's anger is born out of a sinful heart, many times we see our anger manifest in sinful ways. Whether that's yelling, spewing curse words, cutting people down with our words, belittling people, or even to the furthest degree, hatred and murder. And this is what we see as the result of Cain's anger in our passage this morning. But let's read this right now. Genesis 4, 1 through 8. It says, "The man was intimate with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. She said, 'I have had a male child with the Lord's help.' She also gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel became a shepherd of flocks, but Cain worked the ground. In the course of time, Cain presented some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. Cain was furious, and he looked despondent. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you furious, and why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. If your brother invites you out in the field today, say no. All right? So in the first few verses, we're introduced to Cain and Abel. These are two sons of Adam and Eve. And one thing that we notice about Cain and Abel from the very start of the description about them is that they are both very different from each other. Abel, he worked the flocks. He worked with animals. And Cain, he worked the ground. They were different from one another, but this is what I want you to notice. While Cain and Abel are different, they both had the opportunity to come before the Lord equally. Hear me this morning. We all have the opportunity to come to the Lord. I don't care who you are in this place this morning. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your economic status is. I don't care what grades you make in school, right? It does not matter what your background is or who you are. We're all different, but we can all come to the Lord equally. We all have that opportunity. This is good news for us. As I look out around the room today, I see people that are different, probably in many ways, probably with different likes and dislikes, with different personalities. But we all have the opportunity to come to the Lord, and that opportunity was made most clear for us through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Because if you remember, prior to Christ's sacrifice, there was that veil, that curtain in the temple that separated man from God's presence. But when Christ was crucified on that cross, when he said, "It is finished," that veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, indicating that it was torn not by us, not by our works, but by the works of God. That veil was torn, making it possible for any and all who would call upon the Lord to be saved. We all have the opportunity to come to the Lord. The question is have you come to the Lord? Have you come before the Lord? Have you confessed Jesus as the Lord of your life? If you haven't, the opportunity for you to come to the Lord is still here today. God has been giving people opportunity to come before Him from the very beginning, and we see this with Cain and Abel. We also see that Cain and Abel were a blessing for their parents. Adam and Eve, they rejoiced at their births. In fact, the name Cain means, "I've got him." Eve, recognizing the blessing that Cain was. Adam and Eve, they recognize the blessing. They name him Cain, saying, "I've got this blessing from the Lord." But what we see happen in this passage is that Cain gets angry, and ultimately his unchecked anger turned this blessing into a destruction and devastation for Adam and Eve. You know, anger can easily do that. Anger can easily take something that is good and destroy it. We see this happen in marriage at times. We see this happen in jobs at times. We see this happen in our relationship with our kids at times. We have something that is a blessing, something that is good, but our unchecked anger takes it and destroys it. And so, as we continue to walk through this passage, I want us to see some things that we must do if we're going to address anger in our lives. First, we must recognize the root of our anger. What does verse 6 say again? It says, "The Lord said to Cain, why are you furious and why do you look despondent?" So we must recognize the root of our anger. You know, sometimes God asks questions. And when God asks these questions, it's not because he doesn't know the answer to these questions already, but it's an opportunity for us to pause and to think about the answer to these questions. This is what he's doing here with Cain when he asks, "Why are you furious? Why do you look despondent?" God already knows Cain's heart. God knows why he's angry. God knows why he's upset. But had Cain taken the opportunity to pause and to reflect on why he was angry? You know, we see something similar happen with Adam and Eve when the fall of mankind takes place. God comes to walk in the garden and Adam and Eve hide. And God walks through the garden. He says, "Where are you?" It's not because he didn't know where they were, but he was giving them an opportunity to answer that question for themselves, to recognize their disobedience, to recognize, "Man, I once walked with God. Now I'm hiding from him." Sometimes we need to pause and ask the question, "Why am I where I am?" And when it comes to our anger, I think sometimes in the heat of our anger, it's better for us to pause and ask, "Why am I angry? What is it that is making me so angry?" Because this is what I've learned. Many times, whatever that small thing is that I'm angry about, that's not really the root of my anger. Many times, it may be something deeper. I may be angry because I don't feel valued, or I'm angry because I don't feel respected. But there's something deeper at play. And so what we have to recognize is the root of our anger so that we can deal with the root. You know, in our house next door, we've got a fence that goes around the backyard. And when we moved into the house, there were vines that were covering that fence. And so we removed all of those vines off of the fence, but there was one spot where the root was left. And so over time, all of those vines grew back. And before we knew it, that whole fence was covered in vines again. And so we had to remove them all again because the root had not been dealt with. And this happens with our anger sometimes. We don't deal with the root of our anger. We just deal with this issue here, this issue here. And so what ends up happening is we deal with the same thing over and over again. We keep getting angry over the same stuff over and over again because we really haven't dealt with the root of our anger. And so if we can learn to look for the root of our anger and to address the root of our anger instead of all of these little things along the way, it's going to give resolution to your anger. And I believe it's going to give you a healthier marriage. It's going to give you a healthier relationship with your children. It's going to give you a healthier relationship in your job. Whatever that might be, if you will deal with the root of that anger and resolve that, it will give you healthier relationships in every area of your life. So we must recognize the root of our anger. Second, we must realize that there's a better option than our anger. Let's look at the first part of verse 7 now. It says, "If you do what's right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what's right, sin is crouching at the door." So we must realize that there's a better option than our anger. Now let's remember why Cain was angry. Cain is angry because his offering was not accepted by the Lord while Abel's offering was. Now, we're not told exactly how they know that their offering was accepted or not accepted. Maybe the Lord produced some type of outward sign to show them that their offering was accepted or rejected. Either way, we know that Cain's offering was rejected. And while it doesn't explicitly say why Abel's offering was accepted and why Cain's was rejected, Many scholars believe, and I think this is true based on Scripture, that Abel is said to have given the first fruit, which is what God expects from his people, to give the first and the best, but Cain only gave some. Abel gave the first and the best from his animals, but Cain just gave some of his fruits. He just gave his leftovers to God. Now, what's implied is that God has already established a system of giving for Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve would have taught and passed this on to Cain and Abel. And so Cain would have known, going into this, knowing he's making an offering to the Lord, he would have known what would have been acceptable and what wouldn't have been acceptable. And so Cain chose not to do the right thing. Cain chose to just give some. He knew going into it that he wasn't giving the offering that he needed to give. And so he gets angry. And he gets angry at Abel because Abel's offering was accepted. But God says, wouldn't it just be better to do what's right? Wouldn't it just be better to do what's right? I want you to hear me this morning. Obedience is always the better option. I can think of times when my children were younger and they would do something that was disobedient, and as a result, I would discipline them, or Sarah would discipline them. And then, while they're being disciplined, they'd start throwing a tantrum. Now, I'm no stranger to tantrums. If you were here last week, you know that I threw some good tantrums when I was a kid as well. But they would throw a tantrum, and so the discipline would escalate. And I can remember at times saying, just obey. Just do what's right. Why do you want to keep getting disciplined? Just do the right thing. Obedience is always the better option, and this is certainly true with God as well. Obedience to God is always the better option. We can get angry at God. We can get angry that maybe God's word tells us this is a sin, don't do this. Or we can simply obey. And I want you to realize, Cain was all up in arms, angry at his brother, but the reality is that Cain had no one to be angry at except himself. Abel had done the right thing. Abel had obeyed God. It was Cain who had done the wrong thing. You know, maybe sometimes when we get angry, instead of looking externally, we need to look internally. It could be that the reason that we're angry, this may not always be the case, but it could be that the reason that we're angry at someone else is because really we're angry at ourselves, and we're just trying to deflect the reality of our own responsibility by being angry at someone else. And so maybe we need to look externally or look internally instead of looking externally. But this is why God told Cain to do what was right. Because God knew that if Cain did not address his anger, that it was only going to cause him to sin further. That sin was crouching at his door, that it would cause him further disobedience. And so let me encourage you, if anger is your struggle, don't let anger remain so that sin escalates. Rather, address the anger in your heart that you might turn from that anger and do what's right. So if we're struggling with anger, we must recognize the root of our anger, and we must realize that there's a better option than our anger. Finally, this morning, we must rule over our anger. Let's look at the rest of verse 7 now. It says, its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. We must rule over our anger. You know, when I was growing up, The Incredible Hulk was one of my favorite TV shows. And every time I would watch it, I was glued to the TV, just waiting and watching for Bruce Banner, for him to either get hurt, someone to punch him, something to happen to him so that he would get angry and his eyes would start to turn, and then he'd disappear off screen and he'd jump back on screen and it was Lou Ferrigno painted in green paint, right? And his clothes were all torn up, and then he would go on a rampage destroying anything and everything in his path. Now today, the Hulk is one of Marvel's superheroes. But I want you to realize the truth is that there's nothing heroic about letting our anger take control of us, causing destruction to anything and everyone in our path. And let me just say this to men and fathers for a moment. There is nothing manly, there's nothing heroic about letting your anger take over and yelling at your wife, yelling at your children, cutting them down, belittling them. There's nothing manly or heroic about that. But if we want to be a true hero for our family, and what it means is we're not going to let our anger rule over us. Instead, we will rule over our anger. So how do we do that? Here it is. A person whose heart is ruled by God will rule over their anger. Hear that again. A person whose heart is ruled by God will rule over their anger. Two categories today. If you have not given your life to Christ, then in order for you to rule over your anger and for your heart to be ruled by God, that means recognizing the sin that's in your life and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ today, that He might begin ruling over your heart. But if you are a believer, if you're here today and you would say, I'm a Christ follower, then that means continuing to submit to the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ, daily surrendering to His leadership and His authority. Because His leadership and His authority will take control of that anger. This was clearly Cain's problem here. Cain was not ruled by God. Cain was ruled by himself. And as a result, Cain was ruled by his anger. And as a result of Cain's anger, what Adam and Eve were left with was no longer this blessing, but they were left with destruction. Destruction caused by a heart that was ruled by Cain's anger. And so my encouragement to us today, as we look at this devastating story in Scripture, is that we learn from the mistakes of Cain. You know, the best mistakes that we can learn from are other people's mistakes. So let's learn from the mistakes of Cain, and let's not be a people ruled by ourselves, ruled by our anger. Instead, let's be a people who are ruled by the Spirit of God. Let's be a people who surrender today and every day to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Today, if you need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond. Today, you may be here and you may say, you know what? The struggle is real. The struggle of anger is real in my life, and maybe you need someone to pray with you, or maybe you just need to confess that to the Lord right where you're at. You can do that. But maybe you're here and you would say, you know what? The truth is I have never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But today I recognize that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He rose again, and today if I will call upon His name, I will be saved. And so today, maybe you're ready to make that decision and to make that commitment. I would invite you to respond this morning. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. And today can be the day of your salvation. But maybe you're here today and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to publicly profess my faith in Christ. I want you to know this is something that God calls every single born-again believer to do. Baptism does not save us, but it is a sign of the believer saying, Jesus is my Lord. And so if you need to make that commitment for baptism today, I would invite you to respond as well. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already. I've already been baptized by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, and I know that God's calling me to make this my church home, to come and connect my life with this body of believers right here in Stockdale. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Today you can become a member here of this church body. But whatever it is that God is calling you to do in this place this morning, as we sing this last song, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.